continues to grow. Oh. Praising the Lord.
Yes, he is.
In Senla.
He's the one that
and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet, as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Father, we give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise, my Father God, for you are a mighty God. For you have done exceedingly abundantly above anything that we could ask or imagine, my Father. And Lord, it's according to the power that worketh on the inside of us. So, Father, we just give you glory and honor and praise once again, and we just want to say thank you, 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 thank you. How great you are, Father. And Lord, we give you the highest praise. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you because you're worthy, my Father. You're an awesome God. You're the lily of the valley, the pearl of great price, the bright morning star, the rose of Sharon. You're a great God and you're a loving Father. And Father, for that we say thank you, Lord. And we just come through your gates with thanksgiving, come through your courts with praise. For we stand in awe of you. You are beautiful beyond description. Too wonderful for words. Your wisdom and your love and your kindness is beyond anything that we can fathom. You are beautiful beyond description. Too marvelous for words. Too wonderful for comprehension. Like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths of your love? You're beautiful beyond description. Majesty and throne above. And Father, we stand in awe of you. We stand in awe of you, Father, for you are an awesome God. And we thank you, Father, that we can come through the gates of thanksgiving, through the course of praise, through our worship and adoration to you, Lord, all the way behind the veil into your literal, very literal presence. And just feast at the king's table. Thank you for the service, food. Thank you, through Lord, you speaking through your sons and your daughters and your ministers of your word, Father, one to another, Lord. But Father, even more than that, we want a more sure word of our salvation. We want to hear from you. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you. And we would ask that you would speak through us, through these lips of clay, that we not only hear what I say, but that we might hear what our Father in heaven say to us about what I say. That we might be filled with the knowledge of God's will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that we can know what is the hope of our calling and the exceeding greatness of the power that's been made available to us through the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The power that you use when you raise Jesus Christ from the dead and set him at your own right hand, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which to come. Make that known to us, Father, and take us higher. Lead us into greater revelation of you, greater knowledge of you, greater understanding of you. Show us your precepts, my Father, so that we might have good understanding, Lord. And as we grow in the knowledge of you, and as we continue becoming who we already are, your mighty sons and your mighty daughters, your supermen and your superwomen in this earth, displaying your glory, your character, your nature. And as we continue becoming that, my Father, led by your Spirit into the reality of that, we're always careful to make sure that we give you the credit, and we make sure that we give you the honor, that we make sure that we give you the praise. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, both now and forever. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen and amen. Hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Hey, Superman and Superwoman of the Most High God. Listen, it's always an honor to come on this radio broadcast, the Bible studies that we do, and just allow the Holy Spirit, Lord, to just minister through me to all of you under the sound of my voice. Hey, listen, this is something that I want to mention. You know, I normally mention it a lot, but I don't think I mentioned it in recently. Listen, if you tune into this radio broadcast, man, that's God has summoned you into his presence. Not to a radio broadcast, not to a Bible study, not to a church service, but all the way into his presence. And he wants you to know that. He wants you to know that you know that you know that you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that God is summoning you into his presence. He's saying, come, all of you who are blessed of your Father, come boldly to the throne of my grace, said the Lord, and obtain mercy and find grace to help you in your time of need. In other words, he's telling us, boy, come get whatever it is that you need. How you get that, Arthur? How you do that, Arthur? By faith, trusting and believing that invitation that he's extending to you and I is as real as anything could ever be. And that God loves you so much that he points to you the golden scepter of righteousness. You know what that means? It means that he's summoning you into his presence, that he's inviting you into his presence without any sense of guilt or condemnation, knowing that your sins, even though they might be like scarlet, they are washed white as snow. We quote those scriptures, but many times we have to get past our intellect and get down into our very spirit. What? That boy, God loved you so much, man, he made you righteous. You ain't got to try to get righteous. He made you righteous. He made you righteous through his son, Jesus Christ. Through his death, burial, and resurrection, you have been made the righteousness of God that's in Christ Jesus. For what purpose? So that you can come boldly. I ain't talking about just come beggingly and cowardly and pleading with God, but come bold. All the way, man, past the gates, past the courts of praise, past the holy place, all the way into his very presence, and obtain mercy and find grace to help us every time we need it. You have the privilege and the honor to be able to do that. That's how much God loves you. He's summoning us, boy. He listen. This is his greatest desire to be able to mend for us to come to the knowledge, boy, of how much he loves us and that he's on the inside of us and that he ain't never going to leave us and he ain't never going to forsake us. I don't care what you might be facing in life. I don't care what you might go through in life. He's a very present help in your time of need. But you got to know that. You got to understand that. You got to believe that. You got to receive that, believe that, and you got to speak that. And the more you receive it, believe it, and speak it, the more it becomes a reality in our lives. Listen, God has given us exceeding great and precious promises. And through those promises that he's given us, we can partake of his divine nature and escape the corruption that's in this world. Listen, he gives the Father great pleasure to give you, boy, the kingdom of hell. He gives the Father great pleasure, man, for us to come to the knowledge of who we really are, where we really come from, why we really here, what we really can do, and what's been restored back to us and where we're going to end up at. It gives the Father great pleasure to fill, not only to fill us with the knowledge of all of that, but for you and I to begin to walk in the reality of that. I'm going to say that one more time. It gives the Father great pleasure for us to be able to walk in the reality of what it means to be the mighty men and the mighty women of the Most High God, the sons and daughters of the Most High God, the kings and queens that we are, the ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven and the ambassadors of Christ that we are, the children of the Most High God that we are, the sovereignty and dominion and royal power and righteousness and peace and joy of the Holy Ghost that we have and that we are and that we have. It gives him great pleasure, man, for us to live that way. To live that way. That would bring glory to his name. That would bring glory to his word. That would bring glory to his life. What? When, boy, the real us is being manifested in our lives on a daily basis. Who is the real us? I told you, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Children of the Most High God. That's far above all of the religious titles that we fall up under. Christianity and Christians and all that. Thank God for all of that. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, popes, bishops. Thank God for all of that. But you more than all of that. One day there ain't going to be no more apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. One day there ain't going to be no more all those religious titles that we fall up under, popes and bishops. Man, but you're going to always be the son of the Most High God, the offspring of God, the children of the Most High God, kings and queens in the kingdom of heaven on earth. You're going to always be there. You're going to always be an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. Those are eternal titles. You're going to always be a mighty man and a mighty woman of the Most High God. That's eternal. You're going to always be there. And listen, man, what God wants more in these days and these times and this season that we're living in now is for us to come past, man, our religious rituals and ceremonies and having good churches, man, and begin to walk in the reality, man, that we are the church. It's a good thing to have good church, but it's a greater thing, man, that after having good church, go be the church. Go be them called out ones to represent, man, not our denomination, not our philosophy, not our theology, but go represent, man, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Go represent our God in the earth. Go display the character and nature of the Most High God in this earth. Don't go show the world, man, the Christians of the Christ. Go show the world the Christ of the Christian. I got to say that one more time, man. Don't go and show the world in our everyday circle of influence what Christians are like and what Christians are supposed to be like, but go and show them, boy, what Christ is like. Go show them the Christ of the Christians. Go show them, man, display the character and nature and the likeness of our Father in heaven. Go show them God. Where is this at? That's on the inside of you. Paul wrote to the church in Colossians, he said, I show you a mystery that's been hidden from generation to generation, but in this generation, it's being made known unto you. What's that mystery, Brother Arthur? Christ is on the inside of you, and that's the hope of glory. That's in your Bible in Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. What? That Christ is on the inside of you, that he dwells in you, that the Holy Spirit dwells in us, lives in us, that the Most High God lives in us. The Bible says in Corinthians, man, 1 Corinthians 13 chapter in the last verse, it says, man, listen, it's the love of the Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That's what the deal is, but that the love, that God who is love, that the, that in Jesus who is full of grace and truth, and by the way, of his fullness have we all received. That's in your Bible too, in John chapter 1, verse 16. What was he full of? He was full of grace and truth. What's grace? That's favor. Listen, that's the ability, man, to rise up above all the sins in our life, all the misfunction in our life, all the bigly elements of this world system, all the crisis of life, all the shortcomings in our life, to rise up above it, man, and live holy. Grace don't give you no license to sin because you know that, man, you can go to God and ask God for forgiveness. No, grace, man, is the purpose for grace, man, is to raise you up from your sin. So that you can do like that woman, man, who was caught in the act of adultery. So that you can do what Jesus showed her his grace. They were going to stone her. But God's grace saved her. And you know what God's grace saved her for? So that she can go and sin no more. That's what the grace of God is about. Don't give us no license to sin. You don't need no license to sin. You were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. You couldn't help but to sin. It's our nature. Why? Because we was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. What God did, what God's grace did, man, raised us up from there. Why? Because the penalty for sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And God loved us so much that even while we were yet in our sin, his son hung, bled, and died so that you and I can be raised from this sinful nature, man, into the character and nature that God originally created us to be, just like him. And God is tired of, man, about just having church and putting on good programs and then, man, you know, leaving, man, and going out back into our everyday living, man, and still, man, under the bigly elements of this world. Still don't have no victory in our life. Still bound by sickness and disease and poverty and lack and racism and all this mess that's going on upon the earth. Yes, we are in this world, sister, but, man, that don't necessarily mean that we have to be of it. I told you, you've been raised and made to sit together with Christ Jesus in heavenly places, far above all the principalities and powers and dominions and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in every age to come. What you saying? I'm saying, man, all them problems that we're having and facing in our lives here on this earth, man, they are, all them demons and devils that's orchestrating all that, they are under our feet. Yeah, we living and dying, man, under their feet, under the puppet string control of the devil. When all the time, man, Jesus Christ, man, made a show of the devil openly in front of all his demon cohorts, took the keys of death, hell, and the grave from him and rendered him powerless against us and gave us power over all the powers of our enemies. And then he said in Matthew chapter 9 and Matthew chapter 10, I give you power over all the powers of your enemies. Now you go preach this gospel of the kingdom. What's the gospel of the kingdom? That you the head, not the tail. You above, not beneath. Great is he that's in us than he that's in the world. All of the kingdom of heaven is already our inheritance, already belong to us, already been given to us. So go and preach that and cast out devils and, man, heal the sick, well, just like I did. Go destroy the works of the devil. The Bible says in 1 John, man, I think it's chapter 5, somewhere in 1 John, chapter 3. I don't know the Bible in chapter and verse. I just know the word. I got the Bible. I got the word of God out of chapter and verse. and I put it on the inside of my spirit. Because as long as it's in the chapter in the Bible and in chapter and verse, then it ain't going to do you no good. You just have knowledge. But when we get it out of the Bible, out of the chapter, out of the verse, down into our spirit, man, and man, let it in abundance, and boy, let it come in from there. Hallelujah. What do you say, boy, in 1 John, 2 John, or 3 John, one of them John, it say, man, for this reason was the Son of God manifested. For what? To destroy the works of the devil. What's the work of the devil? Listen, the work of the devil, man, is to keep you in ignorance, keep us in darkness, keep us from the knowledge, man, of God's will for our lives. Many are the plans in the will in a man's heart for his life, but it is the purpose of the Lord that's going to prevail. And the devil don't ever want you to know, boy, God's purpose for your life and why you really here. He don't want you to know your purpose, man, for your existence. He don't want us to know the purpose for the creation of the earth and the creation of mankind and why God placed us here on this earth. He don't ever want you to come to the knowledge of that. Oh, he don't mind you coming to the knowledge of a lot of things as long as you don't know that. No, you don't come to the knowledge of him that you are a mighty man and a mighty woman of the Most High God. Because it's when you come to the knowledge of that and begin to walk in the reality of that, then we can do the exploits and the mighty works in the earth. Like what, Arthur? Like cast out devils and heal the sick. And when, man, when we men come to the knowledge that God is looking to and for the earth. For what, Arthur? Looking for men and women that he can show himself strong on their behalf. What do you want? He want to manifest, man, himself, man, to the world, man, through his family of sons called mankind, his children. And he want every man and every woman and every boy to come to the knowledge of that. He's not willing that none should perish. Though maybe some might, you know, because you got to, like I say, you got to receive that. You got to grab a hold to this. You got to seed it, and you got to place it in your possession. What? The incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of God's word. And not only you got to receive that, what, the everlasting, incorruptible, everlasting seed of God's word, but you got to plant that into your life. I told you, you got to receive it, you got to believe it, and then you got to speak it. Until, man, it become a way of life for us. Until we come to that place, man, where we say just like Jesus say, I only say what I hear my Father say. And I only do what my Father say do. And, boy, until we get to that place like that, man, we ought to be pressing on toward that pride of the high calling that's in Christ Jesus. We ought to be going on in God. We ought to be going to our next, to our next, to our next. We ought to be going higher and higher and higher. The Bible says in Corinthians, say we go as we look into this perfect law of liberty. And are conformed men to that, we are changed men, and we are going from glory to glory to glory to glory. What does that mean? That we begin to manifest, boy, the glory of God in the earth. Not our glory. But to show the world, like I said earlier, boy, the glory of God, the full expression of God, the character and nature of our Father in heaven, the express image of the Father. Not to just quote them scriptures and preach about it, man, but to be about it, to live in the reality of that. That's what God want to take us to, man, higher ground. He want us to go higher in him. He's not satisfied with our burnt offerings and our sacrifices and everything else. That was all right, man, in time, man. But what brings him glory now is when, boy, his character, his nature is being manifested in and through us. Why? So that those who sit in darkness, those that don't know, may come to the knowledge of. That's why Jesus Christ, man, was doing all them great and mighty works. So that his preaching and his teaching wasn't just with enticing words of man wisdom, but it was in demonstration and in power. He was a superman. Hello. With power over all the powers of the devil and all the demon cohorts. The devil never dictated to him. the circumstance, situation, and symptom, man, that he, that confronted him in his life never dictated to him. He dictated to it. Then he stood on the bow of the universe, man, after his resurrection, man, on the bow of the earth, and say, all power is given unto me. Power in heaven, all the powers of heaven, all the authority of heaven, all the authority of the earth, in the earth, even authority under the earth. You know what under the earth is? That's death. That's when you leave these physical bodies, man, and your body go back to the dust of the ground, and you put it under the ground, under the earth. So I give you power even over your, even over death, physical death. So where you can get to the place where you'll be able to say, just like what I said to those religious leaders, destroy this temple, and I'll raise it back up again. Till you get to the place where you can say, oh, death, where's your sting? Where's your victory? Hallelujah. Well, I got everlasting life. And I got a promise, man, from my Father that he prepared, man, a body for me that ain't never going to get old, ain't never going to decay, ain't never going to die, ain't never going to be sick. Hey, Lord. So destroy this temple. Why? I got a brand new, and in fact, this a shack I'm living in now. This old body that I'm living in now, that's a shack. But boy, my Father has prepared a place, man, for me to dwell in, man. That's a good God of mine. A mansion. This old house I'm living in now, that's a shack. It's getting old. In fact, I got on glasses now, man, just to try to see these scriptures and everything. Fingers are getting a little wrinkled, man, aging in my face, and eyes getting a little dim, man, a little weak in my body and everything else. In this body right here, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Because I know that this body that I'm living in now is cursed. And one day it's going to go back to the dust of the ground where it came from. But I also know that there's going to be a new heaven and there's going to be a new earth. That's what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 1:21, I mean. Behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And boy, from that new earth that's not corrupted like this earth is, he's going to form me another body. Just like he formed the first body, man, from the earth. And then the man, the earth became corrupt. And when the earth came corrupt, then the body became corrupt. But boy, one day it's going to be a new atmosphere over this earth and a new environment. And it's going to be a whole new earth. And it ain't going to be corrupted. It ain't going to be cursed. And it's going to be, man, just like, man, the territory of heaven. Can you imagine a physical territory of an invisible kingdom? And from that earth, he's going to form me a new body. He's going to form you a new body. And that body going to be incorruptible, indestructible, ever living. These little bodies that we have here now, the Bible says it's sown in... Oh, Lord. It's sown a corruptible body, but it's raised an incorruptible body. It's sown a mortal body, but it shall be raised up an immortal body. It's sown a body that gets sick and decay and die, but it's going to be raised up to an everlasting body. And there will be no more death. That's the exceeding great and precious promises that I'm talking about. And that through those promises, man, that we can partake of the divine nature of God and escape all the corruption that's in this world. That's in your Bible in 1 Peter. The exceeding great and precious promises of God. He's given that to us. All them promises, man, they are yes and amen. Hallelujah. And he can't fail concerning his promises. If he said it, he's going to do it. And if he spoke it, it's got to come to pass. Why? Because, boy, he's a God who is impossible for him to lie. He cannot lie. Listen, the devil ever come to you and tell you you ain't going to make it, or you ain't going to get well, or you ain't going to get sick. Boy, you ain't going to, man, get healed from whatever it is in your problem. You ain't going to make it. You ain't this. You ain't that. You can't do this. You can't do that. You ought to start rejoicing. Why? Because anything that the devil tell you, man, it's a lie. The Bible says he's the father of lies. So whenever the devil come tell you you ain't going to make it and you ain't gonna get through this, whatever it is you might be going through, you ought to start rejoicing. Why? Because you know that that's a lie. If the devil said it, it's a lie. even if he mixed a little bit of truth with it. It's a deception. It's a lie. Why? Because he's the father of lies. That's all he do is lie. That's all he do is tell you the opposite man of what God say. God is true. Jesus say, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. What the devil is, man? He's the thief that come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus say, I am come that you might have life and that more abundant. You know why we as the church, man, are still living under the bigly element of this world and fighting the sins and shortcomings in our lives? Because we ain't come to the knowledge, man, of really who we really are. But you ain't got to try to live the crucified. That's why we're having so much problem. We're trying to live the crucified life. We're trying to quit doing this and quit doing that and don't do this and don't do that, man. And yes, you're supposed to quit doing this. And yes, you're supposed to don't do this and don't do that. But our way of doing it or trying to do it, man, is what the devil then deceived us into. You ain't got to try to live the crucified life. You ain't got to try to, listen, the Bible says we was crucified with Christ. That's past tense. When they say take up your cross and die today, that means, man, come to the realization that, man, you already been crucified. Nevertheless, we live, yet it's not us, but it's Christ that living on the inside of us. Who is the Christ? That's the resurrected Jesus. So instead of trying to live the crucified life, man, start living the resurrected life. That's where the power's at. That's where the devils are on our feet at, what? In resurrection life, when we men get down on the inside of us that we who were dead in trespasses and sin, has God raised us up to and made us to sit together with Christ Jesus in heavenly places far above all our principalities and powers and demons and rulers of darkness. That the devil is under our feet too. Bible says Jesus, God waiting, man, until the enemy be made his footstool. He waiting on us, man, to put the devil under our feet. Listen, Jesus is the head, and we the body. The feet is on the body. So Jesus waiting for us, man, to rise up and begin to live a resurrection life, man, and put the devil under our feet. We the body of Christ, and the feet is on the body. And Jesus is waiting for us, man, you know, to put that devil, man, where he belongs. And listen, he did not really want the victory. Our responsibility is to enforce the victory. But, man, the devil got us, man, deceived. We warring like, man, we trying to get the victory. You ain't got to get no victory. You always say it all the time. The victory already been won. Jesus Christ already won the victory. What our responsibility is? To enforce it. Most believers in Christians fighting the battle, man, to try to win the war. Hey, listen, you fighting from the wrong position. The war already been won. What's our position? I don't like that terminology because I ain't no soldier. The principle of a soldier we can function in, man, but I'm a son of the Most High God. But boy, let me tell you something. After, man, a country win a war or a nation win a war, then they don't start continue fighting the war or trying to win when they didn't already won. But they still leave some men over there. They still leave some soldiers over there. Not to try to, man, get the victory, but to enforce the victory. We're fighting in this battle like we're trying to get the victory. You ain't got to fight no devil, man. You got to do it, command that devil and demand that devil, man, to get where he belongs under our feet. How you do that, Arthur? The same way Jesus did, man, when he was tempted of the devil, put the word of God on him. Every time he comes to us with any negative circumstance situation, we ought to come out of our repertoire and say, thus saith the Lord. When the devil tell you you ain't going to use stick and you got high blood pressure, then what ought to come out your repertoire is, man, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. When the devil tell you, man, you ain't going to make it, and, man, you know you're going to lose your house, and, man, you ain't going to have no money to pay your bills, it ought to come out your repertoire, and, man, my God supplies all my needs. Not according to my economy, not according to how much money I got in my bank account, but according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus my Lord. Every time the devil come at us and tempt us with anything, man, we ought to say, man, what thus said the Lord. You know what'll happen, man, when we begin to live that way? The same thing that happened when Jesus did. The Bible said the devil flees from him. He took off as in terror. Oh, my God, I can't do nothing with him. Why? Because they put me in the greatest force, the most powerful force in the universe against me. What's that? That's the word of God. And they used me, man, with the greatest force in the universe, what? The love of God. They speaking God's word, man, over all their circumstances, situations, and symptoms, no matter what they might be. Lazarus was dead. That was a fact, boy. God said, man, listen here, your brother shall live. Then he told the man, roll away the stone. Then he called him forth. Hey, Lord. What are you telling us, Arthur? I'm talking about as he is, so are we. We need to start practicing that. Listen, you ain't going to become that overnight. You ain't going to walk in the fullness of that overnight. That has to become a way of life. That has to become, man, a way of life that we practice, that we put into practical application, that, man, we do every day. And as we do it every day and step out on it every day, and sometimes when you're stepping out on them exceeding great and precious promises of God that he's given us, it's like stepping out on the water. And sometimes when you step out on it, man, you know you're going to begin, you're going to sink because the devil going to come. He's coming to steal, kill, and destroy what? The word of faith out of our heart and out of our mouth. So that we can begin to once again line up with what he said in his circumstance, in his situation, in his symptoms. But boy, Paul wrote to the church of Hebrews, he said, listen, man, don't cast away your confidence. First, he said, you got to maintain your confession of faith. And don't cast away your confidence. Why? Because it has great recompense and reward. In other words, boy, if you stay steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the word and the work of the Lord, then you shall be like a river planted by the water. You shall not be moved. And when the winds come, boy, when the storms come, because they're going to come, and they're going to blow against the just and the unjust. But if your house is built on a solid foundation, the foundation, man, of the word of God, who is Jesus Christ himself, then when the winds blow, they ain't going to blow your house down. Now, if your house ain't built on there, then when the winds and the waves come, man, they're going to blow your little house on down. You're going to start rebuilding over and over again. That's what's happening in the life of most believers, man. You know, we start standing on the faith of God and the word of God and everything else, and then here come a circumstance, situation, and symptom, or a mountain that seemed to be bigger than that in the natural. And, man, you start doing just like what Peter did. This boy, when he was walking on the water, and, boy, when the wind started blowing harder and the waves started roaring, man, and the thunder started thundering and the lightning started lightning, man, Peter took his eyes off the word, and, man, the Bible saying Peter began to sink. Listen, Peter didn't sink. He began to sink. And when he began to sink, he do what you and I ought to do, man, because sometimes we're going to begin to sink, too. Then what we got to do, do like what Peter did. What Peter did, he called upon the name of the Lord. Hey, he said, Lord, I'm singing. Help me. And, boy, Jesus stretched forth his hand. And boy, when he got back to the boat, Jesus laughed at him. He said, you thought he was going to sing, huh, Pete? He said, yeah, Lord. I said, what you did, I called upon you, Lord. And what happened, man? And you came. And you restored my faith, and you restored my walk. And here we are, man, back in the boat. Well, I'm going to tell you, man, that when you face all these problems and situations, and seem to be demons, man, that over you, man, then you do like they did, man, when they took that demon, when Jesus come off the mountain of transfiguration, and that man down was down there, and he said, listen, I brought my son to your disciples, but they couldn't cast that demon out. And Jesus said, bring him here to me. He brought him to Jesus, and Jesus cast him out. What are you saying, Arthur? I'm saying, man, you know, hey, listen, it's a way of life. You're becoming something. And you ain't got to try to become it. All you got to do is keep becoming it. You ain't got to force your way to it. All you got to do is keep being who you are. Keep practicing that. Keep speaking that. And when you fall, get up, man, and keep on keeping on and keep on pressing on toward the pride of the high calling that's in Christ Jesus. Why do you want us to do all this, Arthur? Because God wants us to bring glory to his name. You don't want us to have no good church and put on good programs and do good community service. All that's a part of it. That's included in it. But that's going on in God. That's something far greater than that. When we be who we are, not just talk about it, but be about it. I ought to be doing like what man you know, hey, God tell us to do what? Don't let man my words depart out of your mouth. Meditate in it day and night so it can become a part of you. And when it become a part of you, then it become a way of life. And then when it become a way of life, then you won't just be a hearer of the word, you'll be a doer of the word. So meditate in it day and night so that you can apply all that's written therein. And then, when you say and then, that implies that not until then. And then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. When boy, you got the word of God in your mouth. And the only way you can get the word of God in your mouth like that, you got to get it into your heart. Your heart, most places where you see the word heart at in the Bible, talking about in your subconscious, in your subconscious mind. In your mind and in your subconscious mind. And the way you get it there, you got to put it there. And the way you put it there, you got to speak it. You got to say it. And you got to say it and 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 say it. How long, Brother Arthur? Forever. Until it become a way of life. Until that's the only thing that you say. But until they get to that place where that's the only thing that you see, that you say, then keep on saying it. Keep on practicing it. Keep on acting on it. Keep on putting it in your heart. And if you keep on doing it, man, on a daily basis, then it's going to get past your intellect, man, and it's going to get abundantly in your heart. And why is that important, Arthur? Because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And the man from the good treasures of his heart will bring forth, man, good things. What he speak. But you got to put it in your heart. And you got to put it abundantly in your heart. You can't just say it, man, every now and then. You can't say, man, God supply all my needs, man, one day, and then the next day you say, man, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how we're going to get through this crisis. I don't know how we're going to make it through this year. Man, all my bills are due, and I don't have no money, man. No, you got to keep on, man, decreeing and declaring that my God supply all my needs, even in the midst of the storms. Even in the midst of mountains, man, even in the midst of gigantic bills, even in the midst of sickness and disease that the doctors say ain't no cure for, even in the midst of, man, bankers telling you, so, man, you can't get this, even in the midst, man, of things that seem to have died and dreams and ideas and purpose and everything, even in the midst of all adversities, you got to keep on speaking word. He who begun a good work on the inside of me, he gonna complete. Got to keep on, man, speaking the word of God to your mountains, to your circumstance, to your situation, to your symptoms. And guess what's going to happen in due season if we don't cave in and give up and quit? The Bible says we're going to reap if we don't faint. They say, Brother Arthur, they say we're going to reap if we don't faint. We're going to reap when we go to church every Sunday and try to quit sinning and try to quit doing this here and putting on good programs and doing great works out in the community and everything else. No, we're going to reap if we don't faint, man. If we don't keep on, if we don't, listen, you can do all them things, man, and then still not speak the word of God, man, over the circumstance, situation, and symptoms. You can speak what is instead of what you want and what you desire and what your heart desires. Don't call the things that are as though they are. Call the things that be not as though they are. Yeah, do have problems in our community and everything else, and crime is rising. And, man, you know, you thought killing up one another, but, man, you can't go around speaking that. You can't go around speaking, man, words like, boy, the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. And our community is a reflection, man, of the community of heaven. And that our sons and our daughters and our children, man, boy, I'm talking about heirs of righteousness, too. Well, like God said, he saved me and my whole house. That's all my children. That's all my children's children. That's all my children's children, children, children's children, children, on down to 1,000 generations. And, boy, we begin, like I say, to speak death. Hallelujah. Continuously. Till really become a way of life. And we're going to reap, man, what you say. Listen, you know why a lot of our prayer that we pray is not being manifested? I ain't saying they ain't being answered, but the reason why they're not being manifested, because it's not what you pray that get the answer manifested. It's what you get up saying after you pray. You can pray, man, Father, Lord, thank you for supplying all my needs, and then get up and say, man, all my bills are due, and I don't know how I'm going to make it. You start worrying about how you're going to make it. How you going to get this paid, man? How you going to get that paid? Because you don't have no money in your bank account. What that got to do with the price of eggs? Say like my little brother. That ain't got nothing to do with the price of eggs, man, when your God supply all our needs. According to his riches in glory, through Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, that, the word Father means the source and the sustainer of a child's life. I ain't talking about like a deadbeat dad, you know. I ain't talking about like fathers, men who don't take care of their children. They make them, but they don't take care of them. I'm talking about fathers, men. He's the source of the life and the sustainer. What do you mean sustainer? He take care of his children. And the reason why children ain't walking in the reality of dead men and their prayers ain't being answered, in two things, man. A lot of times we go to be praying and asking God to do things that he's already done. Instead of, we making it a prayer of petition instead of making those things prayers of thanksgiving, thanking him for doing it. We asking him to do, man, what he's already done when we should be thanking him for doing it. And then he said this here, whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it. And you shall have it. What? Believe that you receive it. When? When you pray. Not when you see the manifestation of it. When you pray. But that's the prayer of faith, then. Believe it, man, to the point, man, where you act upon it even before you see any manifestation. Like my brother sent me a note this morning saying, listen, about a plague, a plaque, you know. They say faith is not, man, believing what that God can do. It's believing, man, that it's already done. And start walking on that and talking like that and acting like that and living like that. Because it is already done. And he said, I answer you even before you call. What I got to do now, I start decreeing and declaring the answer. How I do that? Hey, listen, when you pray according to the word of God, you think God don't hear us? Listen, he got to watch over his word to perform it. He got to send the answer. But just because he sent the answer, that don't mean that you're going to receive the answer. When you ask anything according to his will, you can know that he hears you. If you know that you hear him, then you can know that you had a petition that you desire of him. Now what you got to do, man, is receive it. If somebody send you, man, $1 million check to your post office box and it's sent already, that don't mean that you received it just because it's in your post office box or in your mailbox. What you got to do? You got to go down to the post office or you got to go to the post or the mailbox and you got to get it out of there. You got to go get it out of there. It's already sent. But you got to go to the post office or to your mailbox and get, man, your letter or your check out of there. How? Man, you believe that it's sent, and you go to the mailbox and you go get it. So he say, whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it. And he didn't say you might, maybe, could be, probably. He said, no, you believe that you receive it and you shall have it. Shall means most definitely. But now that you believe that you receive it, now, it's the next step what you got to do. If you believe that you receive it, then go to the mailbox or go to the post office and get it. What do you mean, Arthur? If you believe that you receive it, then, man, you say, now, whosoever shall say to the mountain or say to the bill or to the sickness or to the disease or to the poverty or to the circumstance or the situation or the symptoms, man, in our lives and in our communities and in our family, whosoever shall say to those mountains, be there removed and plucked up and cast into the sea. And do not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things that he say shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever he say. Hallelujah. So that's the two reasons why you ain't no prayers and answer. We praying and asking God to do things he already done, and the next one is, man, then you got to receive it. by faith. Then after you receive it, we will have the God kind of faith. We call those things that be not as though they were. We believe, therefore we speak. He didn't say you're going to have what you pray. He said you're going to have what you say. So what get the answer received or not received depends on what you get up saying after you pray. You can't pray that, man, you know, by stripes I'm healed, and then turn around and get up, man, talking about your high blood pressure and your sugar diabetes and your cancer and your sickness and your disease. You got to say, man, by stripes I'm healed, to your cancer, to your high blood pressure, to your sickness, to your disease, to your poverty, to your lack, to your circumstance, your negative circumstance, situation, and something. You got to speak to the mountain. Whosoever shall say to the mountain, be plucked up and cast into the sea, and don't doubt in his heart, but believe those things that he say shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he say. So what get the answer received is what you get up to in our life. It depends on what we get up saying. See, when you pray, that get the answer sent. But when you get up, man, decreeing and declaring that it's yours, it's your possession, that it's in your possession, even before you see any manifestation, that's what determines whether it's received or not, by what you get up saying. That's why the Bible says, guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. You got to be mindful of what we say and how we say it. We got to learn how to talk. Why is that so important? Because that's a law in the kingdom called a law of sowing and reaping. That we got to learn that man, about that law. What do you mean the law of sowing and reaping, man? You ain't going to plant no apple and get tomatoes. You ain't going to plant doubt and unbelief, man, and get, man, you know, faith and... You ain't going to plant sickness and disease and poverty and lack and misery and hurt and pain and suffering in your life and get, man, you know, the opposite. You're going to reap what you sow. That's a law in the kingdom called a law of sowing and reaping. You're going to have what you say. That's why we got to learn how to talk in the kingdom. We got to learn how to operate according to those laws of the kingdom, the functioning principles of God's kingdom, how God's kingdom functions, man, so that we can learn how to live in the kingdom. See, it's one thing for us to be in the kingdom. I told you, man, God ain't got no problem, man, getting, man, the kingdom in us. Listen, whether you understand it or not, man, when you got Jesus on the inside of you, the Word of God on the inside of you, the Father on the inside of you, and the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, then that's the kingdom in you. The kingdom don't come with observation over there, over yonder, over there in Kuwait and the diamond mine. No, the kingdom of God ain't in the banks and where all the treasures are at and Fort Knox. And the kingdom of God is on the inside of you. And what God is doing, man, you know, and filling us with the knowledge of in this generation, in our generation, that, boy, we got to get in the kingdom. The kingdom already in us. What God is doing now is getting us into the kingdom. That's why in our generation, man, you're living in a great generation. Boy, you're living in a generation where, boy, I'm talking about the read, the good God Almighty. Well, we're rediscovering, man, a gospel that's been hid in the graveyard for ages and ages, probably 1,800 years. What gospel is that, man? The gospel of the kingdom. And rediscovering the gospel of the kingdom. Cause we've been preaching all that, a lot of gospels, and they ain't wrong. But boy, devil, I told you the devil's most successful tactic against us going to be to preoccupy us with good things at the expense of forfeiting the great things. It's not here all kind of good messages, man, through the radio, through television, through social media, through preachers, through, you know, podcasts and sermons and everything else that you hear through social media and everything else. But you know, man, the gospel of the kingdom is far and few in between all of that. I hear a lot of good messages, and they ain't evil, they ain't wrong. They're just not the gospel of the kingdom. They're the gospel. Listen, the Bible full of good news. Got some bad news in there, too, but it's full of good news. But, boy, that's a good news that's hid in the Bible, man. It's like a treasure, the Bible says, that's hid in a field. What's the field? The field is the whole word of God. And in the whole word of God, it got some pearls in there and it got some treasure in there, but it got one that's of great price, the Bible says. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that's hid in the field. And boy, when you discover that treasure, you go sell everything that you got, man, you come back and buy that field with that great pearl in it. What's the field? That's all of the word of God. That's the whole word of God, the whole Bible. But in this Bible is a treasure. It ain't hidden from us. It's hidden for us. What's the treasure? This gospel of the kingdom. What's the gospel of the kingdom? That all of the attributes of heaven, all of the kingdom of heaven, all that heaven consists of, its character, its nature, its health, its peace, its joy, its righteousness, its fulfillment of life, all that it consists of is your inheritance, and it belongs to you. And it's in effect now, but the testator died. A will don't go into effect until the one who wrote the will, man, who was the orchestrator of the will, after he died. After he died, then the will is in full effect. Jesus Christ died 2,000 years ago. So the will of the Father is in full effect. What's the will of the Father? That it be on earth just like it is in heaven. What's the will of the Father, brother Arthur? That it be in our lives here on earth just like it is in heaven. When that's going to be? When the kingdom comes. You say, pray this way. Lord, let thy kingdom come. Why? Because when thy kingdom come into our lives, then your will can be done in our lives. How? Where? On earth. How? Just like it is in him. Now give us everything that we have need of, man, to seek death. To get your kingdom to come in our life, to know about your kingdom, to seek your kingdom, to seek what you're doing and how you're doing it and your way of doing it, man, to know you, not just to know of you, but to know you and Jesus Christ who you sent and the power that's in his resurrection. And boy, when you seek that and make that your number one priority, and if you seek, I guarantee you, you're going to find. If you ask, it'll be given unto you. And if you seek it, if you ask God about this kingdom, and you seek it, and you knock, I guarantee you, boy, it'll be open unto you. And boy, you will have found everything that you were looking for. And boy, when you find, man, this kingdom, man, then you'll come out of religion into a relationship. See, a lot of us, man, a lot of believers, man, they know of God, and they know about God, but they don't know him. Boy, God wants us to know him. Not to know of him and about him. He wants us to know him. Hey, listen, my time is up on this radio broadcast. And, man, I love y'all with the love of the Lord, man. And my greatest desire, man, and everything that we do on this radio broadcast, everything that we do in our ministry, is, man, that you, man, come to the knowledge of the gospel of the kingdom of God, that you begin to learn that and grow in that and understand that, so that we all can begin to walk in the reality of what it means to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. That's why God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors, and teachers, to build up and edify and strengthen what the body of Christ for the work of their ministry. All of us got a purpose. All of us got, man, God created all of us with a purpose, man, to help him accomplish his will. And his will is always the same. His plan and accomplishment sometimes changes, but his will is still the same. His purpose is always the same. That through us, he established his kingdom of heaven on earth. Say, listen, if we could be of any help to you, man, our contact number is with Kingdom Life Fellowship World Outreach Ministry, located in Buncombe, Louisiana. Our phone number is area code 713-870-3776. If we could help you grow in the knowledge, man, who we are in Christ Jesus, and grow together with you, be an influence and impact your life, then feel free to call us. Again, that number is area code 713-870-3776. My wife and I and my family, we love y'all unconditionally. Look forward to talking to you again next week.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LeBain. We at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry would like to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to serve you and your family. We trust that the messages on these broadcasts has been a tremendous blessing to your life. We pray and speak the blessing of God upon your life. And if we can be of further service to you, please feel free to contact us at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry. Our phone number is 713-870-3776.